Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes discusses Parshat Pinchas. Rabbi Daniel Landes is the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This week, we read the Parsha of Pinchas. Pinchas starts off with a thank you that God gives to Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And he does that for the act of zealotry that Pinchas did when Moshe and Aharon were frozen and could not stop the open harlotry of the children of Israel, leaders of the children of Israel with the Midianite women. Pinchas just took a spear and impaled the two engaged in that, the leader of Shimon, who was a man of renown, Kozbi Vat Tzur, and the man of renown, Zimri ben Salu, and the woman who also came from aristocracy. She came, and her name was Kozbi Vat Tzur, and she came from the heads of the Midianites, and he was from the heads of the tribe, Nasive Tavol Shimoni, from the heads of the tribe of Shimon. Can't get better than that, and therefore you can't get worse than that in terms of their open fornication, their open playing around, their open abuse of Moshe and Aaron, who were paralyzed in front of them, and Pinchas did that. Nonetheless, we're troubled. We're troubled because we live in a time of zealotry, and we're in a time in which zealotry has become in many ways indication of one of the great faiths of mankind. Just as martyrdom in Christianity, when one martyred oneself, was indication of the truth of the Christian faith, zealotry in Islam is often interpreted as the proof of the truth of that faith. If a person could be so zealous and a person can do such acts of violence, it shows the truth of the faith. And actually, in Islam, there's a connection between the two, and that it's a zealotry that's also a martyrdom in many type of cases. And this frightens us. And it frightens us when we see it within our people. So what's this whole thing about the Parsha of Pinchas? Let me read to you the verses in question. God speaks to Moshe saying, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, the Kohen, Heshivet Chamati, turned away my wrath, Me'al B'nai Yisrael, from being cast towards the children of Israel, Bekanoa Kinati, when he was zealous with my zealousness, or he was jealous for my jealousness, Bitochum, in their midst. And because of that, put that in parentheses, V'chalitei b'nei Yisrael b'kinati, I did not destroy the children of Israel through my zealotry. It's a zealous God here. It's a jealous God. And Elazar ben Aaron Kohen manifests that. V'chein amor, therefore say to him, and proclaim it to others. Hinani noten lo briti shalom, I give to him my covenant of peace. Peace is one of the names of God. That's why we don't have mats that say shalom on, because people wipe their feet. They're wiping their feet, God forbid, on God's name. Shalom is completeness, fullness, what peace means. And brit, of course, is the great term for covenant, the mutual agreement on two sides to bind themselves together. He has briti shalom. He has my covenant of peace. It almost sounds here ironic, a covenant of peace, when he did such a violent act. And it should be for him, this covenant of peace, Brit Shalom, for him and for his seed after him, a eternal covenant of the priesthood, Brit Kunat Olam, an eternal covenant of the priesthood. In other words, he's the priest. Tachat Asher Kineh L'Rohav V'Chaper Al B'nei Yisrael. Tachat, in response, kind of a quid pro quo, that he was zealous for his God, and he atoned, kapara, kaper, like Yom Kippurim. He atoned for the children of Israel. And then afterwards, they give the names of the people who were involved in that case, who were anonymous. It was anonymous sex, as it were. It was wanton sex, but public sex. V'shema ish Yisrael mukeh, asher hukata midyanit Zimri ben Salu, nesiv veitav l'shimoni. The man's name was, as we mentioned earlier, Zimri ben Salu, and he was from the aristocracy of the tribe of Shimon. V'shema yisha mukeh, hamidyanit kazbi v'atzur, roshamot beit av b'midyan hu, and the woman who came forward to entice the children of Israel was Kozbi Batsur, and she also was an aristocratic lady. And I should mention that it happens right afterwards. One could take it as a continuation of a theme of violence. It's now time for you to attack, to wreak havoc upon the Midianites. Vikitavatam, strike them down. Kitzorim heimlachem, because they have struck against you. And it continues from there. And that's a logical continuation of the notion of violence and response to the Midianites themselves. And this is always taken as a defensive posture or the warrant for defensive war in Jewish tradition. If people attack you or are about to attack you, you're allowed to go ahead and to attack them. And they did it through devious methods. And now we can respond against them. So I repeat to you, this seems to be pretty clear in the Psukim. And how do we have zealotry? And something calls against us right now when we see how terrible zealotry has often led to us. I need to say that it's also not just a contradiction because or an uncomfortable feeling because of how we feel about about neighboring religions, great religions that are interpreted and perhaps rightly so as having that as a major aspect of their faith. And what does that say about us when we seem to have it? It's not just an uncomfortable feeling. It seems that our faith itself has contradictory feelings. All the rabbis in the Talmud say that Zimri, since he was not adjudicated in court, he was not given the death penalty, that if Zimri would have defended himself, even at the cost of, he probably was taken unawares, but if he had decided to take up his own spear and defended himself against Pinchas and were struck down Pinchas, who was coming to slay him, Habar laharcha, Hashkem lahargo, someone comes to kill you, you can kill them first, since he was not adjudicated in court, since he was not, and since the act that he did was not per se an act of violence. We can say it's an act of moral violence, but there's a little bit of a metaphor there. If the Talmud goes as far as to say that if Zimri ben Salu had defended himself and had struck down Pinchas, he would not be judged guilty in court. The capital punishment would not be weighed against him. He would not receive that penalty of capital punishment. Well, what's going on here? According to the sense of the Talmud and the sense of the interpreters, this is a particular situation. It's a particular situation of zealousness which arose from that particular moment in which the leaders were frozen. There was a possibility of great destruction to the people of Israel. God said, I was ready to wipe out the people of Israel. And what Pinchas, because of their frozenness, because they wouldn't separate them, and therefore what Pinchas did was an unusual circumstance that was warranted by the hour. This warrant by the hour is important because that same discussion in the Talmud says that kenoyim pogimbo, that those who are truly zealous can strike forward, but if they ask a question from the beitin, if the zealous one goes to the beitin and says, excuse me, beitin, high court, do I have a warrant to kill this person who has sinned, who is sinning at this moment so terribly against the people of Israel, the court must tell him, no, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. So even if it came for, as it were, adjudication at the moment, adjudication in terms of, not complete adjudication, but adjudication in terms of giving warrant to an act of individual zealousness, the court must say no. And in the 1900s, there, in the early 20th century, there was a student of Chaim of Brisk, the great analyst of the Talmud, by the name of the Garnat, Hagon Naftali Trump. And Naftali Tremp, and Rabbi Naftali Tremp, the Garnot, that's his acronym, explained this. He himself was a great individual and wrote an important book. And he said, what's the reason that if he comes in front of the court says no? After all, the court says if he doesn't ask, he can go ahead and do it. And if he does it, just like Pinchas, he may even be praised. And he said something very sharp. He says, once he asks the question, it shows that he's no longer a true zealot. If he's no longer a true zealot, then he doesn't have the warrant to do so. In other words, there's a special warrant here for the act, I'm going to use a certain term, an act of moral passion that is warranted by the moment and not by reflection, by the moment of crisis and not by reflection. That, in a sense, is one possible way of responding. That's the way that I've responded many times, that this is not a general program, but that actually this is a moral possibility that comes periodically. And we can say this is very different than modern zealotry of terrorism and of bombing, et cetera, which, first of all, doesn't distinguish between innocent and guilty, even according to their terms, doesn't distinguish between innocent and guilty. I think who they consider to be guilty and deserving of death is certainly not deserving of death. But even for them, they are indiscriminate between innocent and guilty, and they go into long-term planning. And in their long-term planning, they want to get it right, and therefore it's really a notion of murder and not of a moral passion for the moment. And third is there are other ways of adjudicating the case, and I'm not convinced that they have no other options. And that becomes my response. I think that response may work. Let me try one other thing looking at the verse, which may be a radically different way of reading the verses. I read you the verses, but let's read a little bit differently. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. It is true and it's correct. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, who that Kohen. Hey, Shiva Chamati, he turned away my wrath from on top of the children of Israel, male Bnei Israel, he turned it away from them. Bekanot kinati betocham, that he was jealous with my jealousness in their midst. Velchliti Bnei Israel bekinati. And I did not destroy, therefore, the children of Israel through my own zealousness. Therefore, I'm just saying that, then emphasizing that, according to this, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen's, Pinchas' real warrant is not the sins that these two people were doing, but the real warrant was a greater tragedy that would have unfolded against the children of Israel being destroyed by God because they had totally entered into a degenerate situation which they could not in any way stop their fellow Jews from doing such a terrible thing in the temple area, or the Mishkan, the tabernacle area. L'chein no more, but here now I get a little more radical interpretation. Therefore say, he need not tame lo at Briti Shalom. Behold, I give to him a covenant of peace. The covenant of peace goes to Pinchas alone. It's meant to be an unusual circumstance. It's not that I give all to his followers the covenant of peace, but only to him. And it should be for him and for his seed afterwards, this covenant, this eternal priestly covenant. It doesn't belong to those who want to emulate him. It doesn't say those who go in his path. It doesn't say anything about his students. It doesn't mean to other people who want to be zealous. No. I will give Pinchas an unusual situation. To him goes this covenant, and to his children afterwards as if they've inherited it, but to no one else. And here the second half of the verse is very important. Tachat asher kinei le'eloha v'chaper al b'nei Yisrael. And this, I interpreted this line before, that he gets this covenant in return, quid pro quo, in response to the fact that he was zealous and he atoned for the children of Israel. But I want to say something different. I want to say the brit shalom, the covenant of peace, this eternal covenant of the priesthood, is itself in the place of being zealous for God. For God. In other words, Pinchas, you did it once, I don't want you to do it again. Pinchas, there was a warrant in an especially unusual situation, do not do it again. V'chaper al b'nei Yisrael, the kapara, the atonement will come from this covenant of being a Kohen, from the covenant of peace, and not from the act of zealousness. And therefore, a few verses later, after giving the names of those involved, when God says, attack the Midianites, and you shall smote them, kitzorim hem lachem, because they are those who are harassing you, that are attacking you, that becomes the only way and the only permission and only moral warrant for attack and for violence when someone's attacking you directly. Attacking you directly. Only then can you respond. And therefore, according to this second interpretation, the priesthood is not a reward. It is a way of sublimating Pinchas and of saying, Pinchas, give up your sword, take on peace, of saying to others, emulate Pinchas in peace, do not emulate him in the vengeful act. According to my first interpretation that we said, the vengeful act still, or the act of violence, I should say, takes place only in the most unusual situation where it's specific to an individual case in which there's no other option and which saves others from even worse situation, because it's quite narrow. It distinguishes between innocent and guilty, and even distinguishes between guilty and guilty, because an unusually guilty circumstance, and that becomes the case. These are our two explanations. I look forward to hearing from you how you understand Pinchas. Thank you very much, Larry, and to all of you, Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.